Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. And the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. When you can't make it to the track, make it to the Clubhouse Racebook.
Good morning and welcome to Saratoga, Racing Across America on a Sunday or a Saturday morning, a very nice Saturday morning, Alabama Saturday, here live from Clare Court. It's gotten a little breezy, but the sun has come out, as we noted on the Handicapper's Report. Looks like it's going to be a nice day up here at Saratoga. Come on up and enjoy a great stakes afternoon. We'll talk a little bit about the Alabama in just a moment, but coming up a little bit later on, Jay Provenzano from Flying P Stable, he will join us. We'll talk a little of his action up here at Saratoga and beyond towards the end of the program. We will be joined by John Piasek from the Maryland Breeders. He's in town. I told him if he gets in town, we talked to him on the phone from the studio, but I said if you're coming up to Saratoga, alert us. So he'll sit in. They have a couple of Maryland bred steaks down at Laurel today. We'll touch on those and see if he has some ideas for Saratoga for this afternoon. But we're happy to be joined top of the show, and we'll talk some Alabama with him. Ken McPeak and buddy Sonny sitting on the set.
Sonny's over here.
Sonny, I'm assuming the favorite around the barn, because he was certainly attracting a lot of attention here on the set.
Yeah, you know, he's a big dog. Yeah. He's a 120-pound Labrador. You can't see him from there, but anyway, we have a lot of fun with him. We've got to keep him under control, but he's a good dog. Likes the lake.
Oh.
Saratoga Lake. He's crazy about it. We live on the lake, so he's in it about every day.
Yeah, very good. I'm envious of you. You live out on the lake. That's one of the better locations up here. Let's jump right into it. And again, appreciate your showing up here on a steak Saturday morning. I know it's always busy, and this afternoon you have Defining Purpose. And I pulled up the replay. We'll go back and look at the Indiana Oaks at Horseshoe
fast.
Indy. She's going to be the number five horse here. Nice win to come into the Alabama with. Talk a little bit about this win out at Horseshoe Indy, and was the game plan right out of this race to come to the Alabama this afternoon?
Well, she does really well when you space her races, and over the winter I ran her back to back a couple of times, and she ran a little flat, and I made the decision to back off and wait for the Ashland because I thought that was her best chance to win a Grade One, and she pulled it off. It was a great run by her. And then the Indiana Oaks was a race that, once again, we spaced her pretty well. And she ran another big shot. And now we're spaced 6 weeks again. And I think that's her ideal timing. And, you know, the Alabama is just such a special race to win. And she deserves another chance to win another Grade One. And I know the Yoshida family is excited for her. And, you know, they recently purchased her off of a group that I had put together with the original breeder, and so you know, I think it's a win-win for everybody. It's going to be an interesting race.
And I see you're bringing in Brian Hernandez for the ride. He was on board there. He was on board for the Ashland win, so he seems to know her well.
Yeah, I don't really need to give Brian any instructions on her. He's been my go-to rider for you know 5 years plus now, and somebody I have a lot of trust in his ability out there. He's got great touch with the horse and he helps us develop a lot of our young horses. So it's always good to have Brian. And Brian's going to come up for Rattle and Roll a little bit later in the summer or towards Labor Day weekend. He's ridden that horse to a multitude of wins.
Yeah, I want to touch on it because I've liked Rattle and Roll all year this year. Defining Purpose in the Alabama, again, I mentioned on the handicapping show, we have this discussion first Saturday in May with the boys, but now this Saturday here up at Saratoga, the mile and a quarter is the big question mark. What do you see for Defining Purpose with the trip?
Well, I think at a mile and a quarter, it's going to be interesting to see how the pace of this race unfolds, you know, especially with a heavy favorite that's a deep closer. So, you know, it's hard to predict what a lot of the riders do out there, but I know that my filly does really well stalking right on the pace, just off the pace. And I think this, it's a 12s race. You know, they've got to kind of knock off that distance and be able to grind it out. And is she, you know, am I as confident as I was with Swiss Skydiver? No way. Eskimo Kisses was a filly that needed a setup, and she got it. And this filly is going to probably need some things to go her way. And you know what? You know, that's why we're here.
Yeah. That's nothing like taking a shot at a grade one on a Saturday up at Saratoga. But, again, she comes in off that nice win, two out of the last three, and wish her a lot of good luck this afternoon with her. And you alluded to it. And I said, rattle and roll, I think, and you verify this for me. He was a nice three-year-old, but I think he's matured very nicely. We're going to take a look now at the Blaine going back to June 3rd. It is going to be rattle and roll getting it done. But as I say, I've kind of liked him all season long as I think better now than, you know, he's matured into a better horse, it seems to me, than he was in his three-year-old season. He was pretty good then, but what are your thoughts on Rattle and Roll, what he's done so far this year?
Well, it's easy to forget he's a grade one winner, too.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
So anyway, he's not chopped liver by any means, but he did not have a good early three-year-old season. It seemed like we couldn't get any traction, and it seemed like some races just didn't go his way or set up, and maybe we just didn't have him right at that time. But then he went through a series of nice wins at Churchill, and he won the St. Louis Derby, which is a really fun little race to win and travel over to. But as a four-year-old, he's done great. And he continues to improve. And so now here's a horse that we have been pretty aggressive. We've run him back quickly quite a few times. 30 days is a spacing for him. And we've even been known to run him. I ran him back once in a week, and he handles it and loves it. But this is kind of a new territory for him in that we're spacing him almost 8 weeks. And I'm going to tell you, he's over there breathing fire right now. I could have run him in the Whitney. I think he would have been probably second or third without any trouble, if not better. And then the Jockey Club Gold Cup, I think, is a race that the distance is right up his alley. I think he's going to love that added distance.
You know, we took a look at the Blame. We'll take a look now at Stephen Foster, and that's the one you alluded to. It was back on July 1st. That was his last race. Winds up second in there to West Will Power. West Will Power was the 2-1 favorite. Rattle and Roll will be the number four horse. What was your takeaway from the Foster, which this year was run at Ellis?
So, the biggest race ever run at Ellis Park. I was an honor to be involved in it. But, you know, he ran a great race that day. Just nearly got there, and Wes Wilpire, I think, had a good trip, and everything went his way. And you know, Rattle and Roll just as a fighter. I mean, and right here you see a little more distance. He's going to run that horse down, and that's you know, we're going to get that added eighth of a mile in this next race, and hopefully punches his ticket to a Breeders' Cup Classic. I mean, I've not been fortunate enough to have a horse for the Breeders' Cup Classic. I'm real excited about it.
And he's up here, and how long has he been up here?
Oh, he's been up here all summer. You know, we've brought a lot of our better horses up here, as we always do. And some of them, you know, get to run earlier, and some of them get ready for the fall. But he's done great. Danny Ramsey gets on him every day, for those that know Danny, and his contribution to my team. And, fingers crossed we can finish it off strong.
You talk about running back in a week, and a lot of times when I get trainers back here, questions like that get me going because I like the nuts and bolts of the game. And what motivates you to turn? It's a turnaround you don't see that often. Now, it always intrigues me when I look in the past performances and I think, okay, they know something.
Okay, let me explain how it all unfolded. He was not supposed to run at all in the American Derby. The American Derby was a turf race that came off the turf, and all of a sudden it opened up as a relatively easy spot. And I told Mike Mackin, principal, and the Mackin family owns Lucky Seven, I said, look, I'm gonna have to work him a nice long distance on Saturday. Why don't we run him in the American Derby in an off the turf race? And he said, well, we really want to go to Indiana. I said, well, I think we could use the Churchill race as a workout. And we nearly pulled it off. He got mugged leaving the gate at Indiana, and he may have won both races, but that just shows you how tough he is. And he didn't really run very hard in the American Derby. He just kind of galloped around there and got the work done. But really special horse to be around. He's been great.
So there's a little serendipity into the if you wind up turning around quickly that.
He touched on, before I came on, about Swiss Skydiver and how all that came together. And actually, I could give you a good story about Golden Ticket and how my Travers win, or the Dead Heat with Alpha, came together. But Swiss Skydiver, when they changed the nomination.
Because I had called up, and I'll tell the guys to pull that up. I was going to have you talk a little bit about your big win up here, the pandemic here with Swiss Skydiver. So why don't we show that while you talk a little bit about her?
So she wasn't – okay, they were running out of – the schedule kept changing summer. I mean, all the fall. Nobody knew where we were going to run the next month. So there wasn't a three-year-old filly stake on the calendar the end of the season. And so we had run through the bluegrass. We tried to win the bluegrass with the filly. We win the Alabama. And I said to Peter Callahan, I said, they've cut the nomination to the Triple Crown in half. Let's nominate her. And he said, oh, you're crazy. And I said, well, look, it's only $3,000, and she certainly earned that. So he said, yeah, go ahead. So we nominate her. And because I looked at the calendar, I said, there's no three-year-old filly race end of season. I either have to go against older horses, three-year-old fillies and mares and up, which was a really top group back then, or I can go against three-year-old colts, and I chose to go three-year-old colts, and I got weight in the race, and she was on her best game, and you know, obviously pretty historic.
And I remember, you know, in the winner's circle after the Alabama, you were kind of alluding that maybe the Preakness would be out there.
Yeah.
Well,
I was lucky that Peter let me nominate her and run her, but it was a little drama included because I didn't have a jockey the day before entries. That was interesting. But, you know, we overcame it, so that was great. But, you know, that's kind of this game. I've never really been scared to take a chance, and especially if I had a horse doing well.
Well, you obviously did, as you say, bluegrass and Preakness and whatnot, and you know, that was a great Alabama win, albeit a very different year with no fans here and whatnot.
Yeah.
And talk a little bit about Saratoga and what it's like winning up here. Now, in a more normal year, when you're here with the fans, I always say these are the most knowledgeable fans in the game, it seems like, and it's just fun to see a good performance appreciated. I'm sorry they weren't there for some Skydiver.
Well, on the contrary, the COVID year, I traveled all over the country. I ran horses in Oakland, California, Maryland, New York, obviously Kentucky, Florida. It was easy to get seats. There was no traffic. You didn't have to worry about getting in and out. You just came and ran your horse and you went home. So for us that deal with this every day, sometimes the crowds, which are great for the game, are real – you know, you had to wiggle your way through everything. And COVID year, it was like zip in, zip out. No problem. Let's do our job, which is what we want to do. Typically.
Yeah, I have to admit, they stationed us to spread us out that year. They stationed the press box. We were in the turf terrace, which I thought was pretty good. So great seating for
exactly.
us as well. Also, I have to touch on your win just a few days ago with Wonder Ride, because when I was talking to you yesterday, you said maybe looking spin away with her. This is a nice victory. Debut win for Wonder Ride. You trained the damn Wonderman, if I'm not mistaken. Nice little New York bred. But talk a little bit about the performance last weekend with Wonder Ride and what you look for in the future.
It was expected. You know, I obviously trained her mother, and she was a very good New York bred. But I think what I'm most proud of with this filly is that I bought her mother for $42,000. She ran off, I think, I want to say she won 5 stakes in her career. And then we've taken her to my farm in Kentucky. I contributed to the mating. We raised her at Magdalena Farm in Lexington. We broke her as a yearling. We've taken her through all these steps. And this filly might be better than her mother.
Ah.
Yeah, well, matter of fact, expect her to be. So, you know, Gunrunner's been a really nice mating with Wonderman, and Wonderman was a hard knocker, and this filly, total consummate professional, goes out there every day, and she's going to want to run longer than the spin away. But I'd like to knock out, you know, another Alcibiades with either her or Vivi's Dreams, another one that we've got out there that we'll probably try to keep them separated. And what's the name of the 3-year-old or 2-year-old filly stake at Belmont in October that sets up for the Breeders' Cup?
The story?
Not
sure.
Well, the Champagne I know is the Colts.
Yeah.
But I can't remember the name of the filly's stake, but that may be her next step, too.
Okay. You know? How'd she come out of the race the other day?
Yeah, piece of cake. I mean, you know, she only really ran 80%, but as you saw, Julian, you know, wiggled her through traffic, and when he pressed the button, she went on, and that's what good ones do.
And I just want to quickly touch on a couple others coming up. If folks are playing over the next week, you have one coming up out at Horseshoe Indy on Wednesday. In the P&E, we're going to take a look at Corningstone. I also wanted to show this. This was a little stake at Horseshoe, the First Lady, back on August 2nd. Corningstone's the number 8. But I also just love the name Corningstone. A little tip of the hat to Anchorman fans out of Ice Women. So, folks, we'll get that. But what do you expect later this week from Corningstone out at Horseshoe Inn?
Well, this filly ran here in Saratoga last summer and was competitive, but she had a couple of – she had an unlucky race. One race was canceled in the middle of the race. I can't remember what – maybe a gate issue. But this filly is a very, very good filly against Indiana Breds. And she might even get a chance against Open Breds. I may run her in the Remington Park Oaks in September. But this is a restricted race that she's in this week. And, you know, I'd say she's going to be no less than second choice, I would think, something like that. But she's been really good. And her sister, his name's Ice Cold, is going to run here next weekend here in Saratoga.
Very good.
Yeah, and Sonny's sticking his nose over here. He's got a little. Say hello.
Looking good, too. Looking good.
Anyway.
And over the next couple of days, I want to just touch on, are you staying in today with Real Men Violin?
Yes, for sure. I haven't seen the final scratches, but we changed the shoes to set him up for a dirt run today. This colt's going to run good on the dirt.
Okay. That one is in the second race today. And tomorrow you have a first-time starter for Magdalena. Lord Vincente, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. What are your thoughts?
One of the most interesting horses that I've purchased and been around. I found this horse in Argentina in a small, what I'd call boutique breeder's farm, and did a deal, private deal to buy him and then export him back. So the mare was bred on a Southern Hemisphere season to End the Mischief in Kentucky. Then the mare was flown to Argentina where she foaled, and she foals the colt in Argentina, raised in Argentina. And then I happen to be kind of horse hunting down there, which I do regularly. I've been known to buy Brazilian horses and Argentinian horses. And so anyway, I found this colt with John Fulton, a friend of mine, and really serious horse.
Okay.
And he has done everything we've asked him to do.
And Brian's sticking around for the ride.
And it wouldn't surprise me if he does everything we ask him to tomorrow.
Yeah, very good.
Really, really nice horse. And I think you're going to see this horse. He could be a horse that shines in bright lights.
Okay, so that's tomorrow on the 8th, Lord Vincente. I didn't even know that was a thing, that they would breed in Kentucky on the southern schedule and then head down there.
You get a discount if you breed on the southern hemisphere because stallions aren't active.
Yeah.
And then stallions that don't go southern hemisphere, for example, if they don't go to Australia or another continent, then you can get a bargain. But you know, your foal dates are going to be a little bit awkward against younger foals. So he is a 3-year-old southern hemisphere having to run against older American horses. But in theory, well, physically he is a, what is it, he'd be the equivalent to February of his 3-year-old year in South America.
Okay.
So he's got plenty of age on him, and he's been able to mature and catch up, but he's a big beast. Okay. If anybody gets a chance to look at him in the paddock tomorrow, take a peek.
Now I'm going out. Now I'm going to have to take a look. Ken, I really appreciate it. As I said, when you sat down, I know it's always busy on a Saturday stakes day, and so we appreciate you coming over. It's always interesting
to
have some conversation.
Come on up. Yeah, come on up. Say hello.
We appreciate Sonny stopping by, too. A gorgeous, gorgeous dog, certainly.
Come on
there.
Up. Come on up. No? He'd rather go have a biscuit.
Yeah, I don't blame him. But, Ken, we appreciate it. Wish you a lot of luck this afternoon with Defining Purpose.
Thank you very much.
All right, we'll head to a break. Jay Provenzano will join us. We'll talk a little Flying P and more. John Piasek towards the end of the show from the Maryland Thoroughbred Breeders. So stay tuned. Racing Across America continues.
Turn your love of racing into savings with equine discounts through the NTRA. Purchase through equine discounts and receive great savings on well-known brands like John Deere, Sherwin-Williams, Big Ass Fans, Farmers Insurance, and Office Depot. Join thousands of other equine members and support companies that give back to the sport we all love. Call 866-678-4289 or visit equinediscounts.com to start saving today.
Sometimes it pays to go with the flow, to check your worries at the door, to reconnect with your crew, to follow the thrills and the flavor, to roll with it and see where it takes you, to enjoy every minute to its fullest, and to dance like there's no tomorrow. You can do that here at Rivers Casino and Resort Schenectady, where the good times flow.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Alabama Saturday morning. Again, looks like a nice day, a little breezy, and it's cool. Bring a sweater, I would think, but it looks like it's going to be a really nice, fun day up here. And I'm expecting a nice, fun segment coming up as well. We have Jay Provenzano visiting us from Flying P Stable, and out in the green room, as it were, Roddy Valenti. And when I asked Jay to be on, I said, Roddy recommended, said you'd be a good guest, and so looking forward to it.
I'll do my best.
And when we get the new guys back here that we haven't had on the show before, I always like to, I mean, part of what we try to do is, you know, put a personality to the faces and then the names people see in the program. So just fill us in. How'd you become a fan of the game? How'd you get involved?
I was actually born into the game. My father was a jockey.
Oh, okay.
So he rode down in the Southern Tracks, Charlestown, Bowie, Pimlico, Timonium, Marlboro, Laurel. So he rode down there. I grew up around the horses. I grew up on horses. then late 70s, early 80s, we were up in Elmont, New York. I lived right down Sterling Road where the Dunkin' Donuts is at the front gate. So he worked for Bobby DeBonis as his assistant and head exercise boy in the 80s when the claiming wars between him and Poncho. So you know, at any moment that I could get, I would weasel through the bars and go to the track. You know, I'd help on the weekends. I would, you know, walk horses. I would get on the pony, go out with him, you know, on the track. So I've always been, you know, it's in me.
It's a story we've heard before. The family's involved, and then as a kid, you got to maybe get through the gate and kind of sneak in a little bit and enjoy it. Also, I, you know, obviously, I see over in the front side you're a player as well, I assume. And so I always say part of the fun of the game is the handicapping puzzle. And
you know, I love the game. It's, you know, this is not a game for the weak stomach. You know, like right now, I'm not having one of the best meets. But I smile every day because I know that you got to enjoy, you know, you got to take the valley to enjoy the peak. Yeah. You know, so it'll spin around. It always does. You know, it's the only game, it's the only sport that if you're shooting 20%, you're doing great. I mean, which means you're losing 4 out of 5 times. You know, you've got to be able to stomach it. You know, you get some rough breaks. You know, horse scratched or whatever it is. It's part of the game, but if you don't know it, you know, you're not going to be able to tolerate it very long.
Yeah, and we try to explain that when we're in here, too, to folks who maybe don't realize the ownership side of the game when we get owners in here. I mean, just, you know, getting a race written for the horses you have ready to go can be tough sometimes. So you know, you see that the folks walking into the winner's circle, and that's great, but a lot goes into getting there. Talk a little bit about establishing the Flying P stable and what got you into the ownership side of the game.
Well, the owner side of the thing happened, I got a little lucky in business, and I was able to, you know, take some money and tell my wife that this money has nothing to do with us. This is what I want to do, you know, for a little enjoyment and stuff. And, I guess it started out as a hobby, you know, like one or two. And then at one point there was like 75, we're somewhere about with like 60, me and my wife right now, 60, 65, some brood. Now we've started doing some brood mares okay. and babies now, which that's something I can't wait. The first babies are going to hit the track soon. Hopefully soon. That'll be enjoyable in a different thing. You know, mostly I get involved is claiming. I love claiming. I love trying to find an edge that maybe, and no knock on a trainer ever, but just something different that they weren't trying. You know, we happen to get lucky with some real good claims the past couple of years, yeah.
Well, that is the perfect segue, because I knew we had to talk about Lone Rock. And Lone Rock, a double claim for you guys. You know, you picked him up a couple of times. You picked him up, and then one race, you lose him, and then you claim him right back. And then you talk about finding out new things. You turned him into one of the top marathoners in the game, which is a real specialty these days. And we're going to take a look at the Birdstone from 2021. It is going to be number 3 Lone Rock. Recently retired, I guess Theodoro's going to have his pony now. But talk a little bit about playing the claiming game, picking this guy up, and then stretching him out.
So that was a real exciting moment, you know, because it happened here. It was my first stake here.
Okay, very good.
and then later on in the same year, we won on the claim on the last closing day of the meet. We win the Bernard Baruch with another claim for $40,000, which was Tell Your Daddy. He just missed winning a Grade One after that in Keeneland, the Keeneland Mile. But with Lone Rock, what happened was we were here, we were looking. It was a $40,000 race that day. It was between him and Pete's Play Call. I can vividly remember it. And we leaned towards him. We took him. We sprinted him back. I think we stepped him up for like 62 or whatever. And Pete's Play Call, we sprinted him again. Pete's Play Call got the better of him again. And we then said, you know, he's such a big, rangy horse. Let's stretch him out. We stretched him out. We won. Mott took him back. And then Bill, which was odd because Bill doesn't really play too much claiming, and so Bill put him back in for the 40 again. We went back in, we win a five-way shake, and then Robertino said, you know, I win a race a year before going a mile and a half. I think he can do it. And I said, well, when's the race? And it was like a week and a half or whatever. I said, well, you think he's, you know, ready off of that? And he just missed winning that race, and then he went on a streak, a tear, at a mile and a half. And it was an unbelievable time enjoying watching him race. He brought me my first graded stake, which was the Brooklyn, and he won that in tremendous fashion that day. It's like boxing with the heavyweight champ that you never think is going to get beat, like with Tyson. You know, you never thought Tyson was ever going to lose. And, I guess his time just got passed. He's a real nice horse in that division right now. We put in an effort off the bench. We finished second, you know, off of a layoff. And then we thought maybe he might have bounced the second race or whatever. And I just think that, you know, his time had, passed or whatever. You know, maybe he's got a second career ahead of him. He loves to sit out on the track for like 20 minutes. Nobody could tell him when it's time to do his thing. So we decided, you know, he's been so good to us. There's no need to ever try to cheapen him because he's just not cheap. Let's just make him a pony for the stable that, you know, that did everything for him. Robertino, we talked about, you know, dressing Robertino up in a cowboy hat and putting him on and taking some photos. But so he's going to, you know, he's going to take babies out to the track, teach them how to sit and stand and, you know, and all that good stuff like a coach.
Yeah.
And he deserves it. Yeah. You know, he deserves it.
No,
you know, they made a video of him and like it brought a tear to my eye because I was watching all the races and watching that video. Like I got to relive all of those moments really quick. You know, he brought us to an undercar on the Breeders' Cup day. And, you know, it's just... I don't know if I can ever make a claim like that again, but I hope so. That's why I do it.
Yeah, with the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance race, which is Grade Two, which he won on the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah.
So that's and again, you play the claiming game and you wind up with a horse like that. But it wasn't only one. That was one where, as you said, you kind of had to come up with a new plan for him because before you claimed him, he wasn't a marathoner, and that's where he made his name.
No, he was sprinting. Yeah. So you never know. I mean, in The same with the horse that is now, you know, winning those races that won the Birdstone. You know, they stretched them out.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I mean, these days
know.
In American racing, it's a real specialty.
Oh, yeah, it's not common like it used to be. You know, they used to have 2 miles, you know, and stuff.
But, and talk about the claiming game. You've kind of alluded to it already. But how do you decide who to claim? I mean, one of your trainers come to you and say, hey, take a look at this horse, or are you looking all the time?
So it's usually like a 3-4 person process. I have any one of 8 trainers that I have, they'll text me a race, but they won't tell me the horse, and that's or vice versa. So we won't talk about the horse. We'll just say the race, and then if we're on the same horse, then,
that's interesting.
Yeah,
I like that.
then what I'll do is I'll pass it to Dave Canizzo, who helps me manage the stable. He also I send a lot of horses over to Willowbrook Farm that he has now. He was one of a trainer of mine, but now he's gone to rehabbing horses and you know, and stuff like that. But so I'll pass it on to Dave and see if Dave comes up with the horse, and I'll even pass it on to my father to see if he comes up with the horse. If we're all uniform, then we know it's a claim. We're either going to live together, you know, in victory, or we're all wrong. But you know, I try to see if we can all come up with the same thing, you know, and see if we also see something that's, you know, not there. Maybe he needs to be gelded. Maybe he needs blinkers or something. So.
I like that whole concept intrigues me. Hey, just take a look at this race, and if we're all
can't,
on the same
can't
page
tell the horse.
About the 1 year, that's very intriguing. And you mentioned it before, the shake. And for folks who aren't familiar with the game, when owners go in and claim, if there's more than one claim in for the horse, they shake and pull a tablet out and pull a name out and see who wins. Have you claimed up here? Because, there have been a lot of shakes up here.
So there has, and that's probably the only thing that I've been lucky at this meet so far. I've actually got 6 or 7 horses
so far. Because that is lucky up here.
We claimed a nice horse off of Jack Sisterson, Sky and Sand, win pretty convincingly the other day. I claimed a few horses with a few new trainers. I claimed with George Abreu up here. We got a horse. I claimed with Mel Giddings. We claimed a horse the other day. Nice Florida bred. So I'm excited. I love giving people the opportunity.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
And it keeps the other trainers on their toes too. You know.
Very good.
Yeah.
Also wanted to alert people for folks who are playing coming up. I pulled up a replay. Steve Sexton Mile back on May 29th. You guys had Frosted Grace. We'll take a look at that replay. Frosted Grace in the Sexton Mile, the number 5. But comes up, Monday in the Wisman Memorial down at Presque Isle. What are your thoughts down in Pennsylvania for Frosted Grace coming up?
Well, He's a real nice horse. Nice claim. I actually claimed him with a purpose the day I took him. I claimed him to run him in the claiming Crown Jewel.
Oh, nice.
You know, for me, it's I don't like to cheapen it, but it's like the poor man's Breeders' Cup. And you know, I've won a bunch of those Claim and Crown races in the past. I've won the Jewel with Flowers for Lisa. I've won the Sprint race on the turf with Rocket Heat. I won another turf race with Queen's Embrace. So I like that. It really means a lot to me, the Claim and Crown, because it means like it was a good claim when I can, you know, win best of the best against the claimers. So we claim this horse because the Jewel is a very weird number. It's got a value of 35,000 and, you know, to run in it or under. And it's just not like a $35,000 race written. So it's like you got to claim for $32,000. And he happened to be a claim for $32,000. He went down there and he just really didn't like the track in Churchill when I claimed him. It was like, it was
water. That's a quirky track for some
horses. Yeah, and it was soupy that day. They took the turf races off. They didn't run him on the turf. So, you know, we got claimed and he just started getting good, you know. And he ran that race, the Steve Sexton Mile. I happened to be in Greece that day, so I'm 6 hours ahead. I would have had to watch it at like 4 a.m. I'm like, all right, I'll just see it in the morning. And I got up and here I am, you know, and I'm watching it by myself. It was real exciting to, you know, win a grade three race with him. We're going to try him on the poly, see how that works out. I think he could run on any surface. So, you know, and then we'll go from there. I think he'll go from that to just giving him some light training and with the purpose of running in the Claim and Crown with him. And then we'll start his campaign next year, you know, after everything.
It's interesting to hear you say that, because when the Claim and Crown shows up every year, I look in the past performances and I always think, if the horse was claimed the race before, I'm thinking, they were looking at
this. Yeah, no, you know, claim with a purpose, you know.
Also see that Frosted Grace for Robertina Diodora has been working down at Churchill. Where do you have horses?
Well, the majority of them are up here right now. I really, you know, I shoot to have a real good Saratoga. Like I said, unfortunately, it just hasn't happened. But we still have 2 weeks, you know, remaining, and a lot of bullets to still fire. You know, and I stay very optimistic that way. But then we have the horses, you know, and I actually also started giving some horses to Rob Falcone. So Rob has a little string over in Monmouth, you know, that they just weren't going to cut the mustard here, which is why I like to have so many trainers, because if something doesn't work out, at least I have an out to go and I don't have to start finding, you know, somebody. And then we have the horses down, you know, down in Kentucky. They'll go to Oaklawn. You know, Mel will probably take some horses down to Florida and George Abreu, you know, so that's why, like, I kind of reached out in that direction. So I'll run Florida, I'll run Oaklawn, Kentucky, and I'll run New York.
You ever get to Oaklawn? I like Oaklawn. The Hot Springs, to me, is very similar to Saratoga, just the way the folks respond to the racetrack.
Robertino gives me a lot of grief. He goes, you know, you have won probably 10 stakes in the last 3 years and you've yet to come here. What is it going to take? And I said, you could put me on a private plane because I'm not connecting and I don't want to. But I will get there. It, you know, I have heard so many good things. I heard it's like a mini Saratoga. I heard you walk into a grocery store and they know who you have entered that day. You know, and for me, that's everything, because like, this is how I live, you know, this is what I bleed, you know, the horses. So I really, you know, I don't mind people questioning me. I don't mind people asking me, you know, because you want to talk horse with me, we can talk all day long, you know. So I do have to get down there.
Yeah, I would highly recommend. I have a sister who lives in Fayetteville, which is a ways away, but 1 year I made the trip down, visited her on the way to Florida for a couple of weeks, and I made a stop at Oaklawn for a couple of days, and I was really amazed by how similar it is to Saratoga with the whole mentality. And what's special about Saratoga, I always say, is outside the fence, because as you say, you go downtown, you're eating dinner, and the people at the next table are talking about hitting the double today or what they're playing the exact
and
tomorrow.
And they're thanking you if you won for them, you know, but and Fairgrounds, you know, I started dabbling with Tom Morley in Fairgrounds a couple years ago, and like I said, we made some really good claims down there. You know, we claimed Tell Your Daddy, we claimed locally owned, you know, a couple other good claims. He decided not to go last year, so I used Ron Fauché down there, and depending if Ron comes back, you know, it'll be Ron again, or I was talking with Robert Falcone last night, we were having dinner. Maybe he'll go down there with a string or whatever. You know, I told him the claims are really good there. You know, I've had tremendous success in you know, the 2 or 3 years playing it over that way. Because, you know, over here it gets a little tiring. I mean, besides the Saratoga meet, it becomes the same old cracker.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And, you know, so you need to diversify and, you know, and try to find those good claims. You know, unfortunately, I bring all of those good claims this way, and as soon as you bring them here, you know, I mean, I lost six the first week, I think.
Well, it's been nuts up here. Oaklawn, though, it's nuclear down there, too. They changed the rules a little bit at Oaklawn, but the claim box down at Oaklawn is crazy as well.
It's very interesting what they do there. They have what is called a... it's like a priority claim. So if you lose a horse, you are granted what's called a priority claim the next week.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so
you could
check the box. Now, say 10 people are in for that horse, but 4 people have lost horses and they check, the other 6 are eliminated right away. So you're only shaking against 4. So it gives the person a chance to replenish
your
stable. I've tried voicing my opinion here because, you know, you're against 30 people. You know, it's easy to lose a horse, but it's not that easy to get one back here, you know, so.
And some of these claims up here are 20 people in the shake.
Exactly, 20, 30 people in the shake, and you're trying to get, you know, replenish your stable. Like I said, I lost 6 the first week. You can lose 6, no problem.
Try
to get 6 back, you know. It's a little difficult.
And again, I like that the perspective because I think a lot of people don't realize that on that the owner's side of things, as they say, see the owners go in the winner's circle and whatnot. There's a lot that goes into it. Just before we let you go, again, you mentioned there's still plenty of time up at Saratoga coming up on Wednesday in the John's Call. You have Tide of the Sea and Mystic Knight. What are your thoughts for one or the other of those coming up on Wednesday?
Well, the way my meet has been going, and like I said, I have to just take it with a smile and laugh, but so I figured, all right, I'm going to outfox them here. If I was putting the horses in MTO, it's sunny and stays on the grass. If I needed the race to go on the turf, you know, this meet, it's rained off. So I said, all right, well, I got one for each way. Well, they'll probably cancel the John's Call the way everything's going. But no, either way, the way that the weather's looking, it looks like it's going to stay on the grass. He's going to be very tough.
You go back
to Tide's race 2 back. I believe it was
Fort Marcy.
Yeah. I mean, he ran a 99, so it's going to be a tough number. You know, if he runs that 99 again.
And I'll ask you as an owner, and when you place your horses and whatnot, since you just mentioned it, do you look at the numbers? Do you look at the buyers or any of the other numbers as you're picking your horse?
I'm a buyer guy. Okay. I don't do the sheets.
Okay.
You know, I know people, you know, live and die by the sheets. I don't know how to read them, to be honest with you.
I'm a buyer guy, too.
There's a 6, and it goes this way, and it slants. It's italic. It's bold. It's too much for me, you know. I'm a buyer guy and a replay guy. Huge watching the replays.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, very good. Jay, really appreciate the visit. As I say, our friend Roddy Vellante said, have him on. He'll be a great guest. And lived up to the billing, certainly. Wish you a lot of good luck going forward the rest of the meet and going on as well with Flying P and Beyond. And the new horses coming out of the – are you racing the horses you're breeding or are you selling them or a mix?
So we actually ran a couple horses through the sale and got a little lucky. two homebreds, one we sold for 60, one we sold for 150. We got really lucky on the 150 one. She had a little bit of a page, and 2 years ago she was stuck down in Florida, and we didn't know what to do with her. You know, we decided we're going to retire really quick, and so we like looked at the sires and we're like, who's this Gervin for $5,000? All right, do that. And he became hot. You know, so you know, she had a little bit of a page. She was the only Gervin in the sale. So she was Florida Stallion, New York bred, you know, and also we had certified her in Virginia. So she looked really attractive. She was a pretty horse. So we got 150 for her. And then we've been dabbling with Pinhook and some weanlings to yearlings. And we did pretty good with a practical joke that we took for 95 and sold for 180.
Oh, nice. So, yeah. So you're playing all aspects of the
game. I'm trying. You know, if I can't make money one way, I'm going to try the other.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Jay Provenzano, again, Flank D Stable. Again, like to introduce people that you see the name in the program. Maybe you see him walk out in the winner's circle, and now you've got to meet him as well. Jay, appreciate the visit. We'll talk again.
Yeah, right now I need a GPS for that winner's circle.
It'll come around.
I know.
Appreciate it.
Thank
all right,
you.
We'll take a break. John Piasek is in the house. Maryland Thoroughbred Breeders. They've got a couple of nice Maryland bred stakes at Laurel today. We'll hit on those and more right after this. Stay tuned.
Just watch the races when you can be in the middle of the action. For nearly 20 years, Bonaventure Stables' share-based ownership program has made thoroughbred ownership affordable for the everyday fan. Ownerships of 5 and 10% are now available on a nice selection of horses. As a partial owner with Bonaventure Stables, you'll enjoy all the benefits afforded every owner. Visit with your horse in the private stable area. Greet the trainers and jockeys in the paddock. And when your horse wins, savor the moment in the winner's circle at Saratoga, Belmont, Aqueduct, or wherever you bring home the prize. Based in historic Saratoga Springs, Bonaventure Stables has been training winners and creating memories since 2005. Learn more, see available horses, and meet our team at bonaventurestables.com. Welcome back to Racing Across America. Yes, I say it all the time when we have people on down in the studio via phone or Zoom or whatever. I say, hey, if you're coming to Saratoga, give us a shout, and we'll pull you on the backstretch. And one of those people, John Piasek from the Maryland Horse Breeders Association, he's the communication manager, and he got in touch and said, I'm coming up. Mm-hmm. So I said, come on over. And it coincides nicely, a couple of Maryland bred stakes today down at Laurel. We'll hit on those, but you have some opinions at Saratoga as well. Thanks for stopping by.
Great to be here, Seth. You know, I've been coming to Saratoga for a long time, and every summer I'd come up and visit, and I'd watch the OTB channel in the morning before going to the track, and now I'm actually on camera on the OTB channel. So it's a thrill. It's great to be here.
I get that a lot, to tell you the truth. People who have come up and watched the show, now they're here, and they're always kind of feeling like, wow.
Yeah, finally made it.
Yeah, there you go. and you mentioned your dad, a longtime Saratoga regular.
Yes, first time he he came here, it was the affirmed Alidar hopeful in 1977, and he came back up for the Travelers next year. It was him, his dad, and his brother, and every hotel around here was booked, and they parked their car in the Oklahoma lot, and they slept in their car overnight before the big race.
Ah, there's dedication.
Yep, and he was a big affirmed fan, so he was kind of bummed, but it didn't dim his enthusiasm, and he's been coming up here ever since. And I've been coming to Saratoga Springs every full year of my life. I was born in fall of 95. First time I was up here was summer of 96. Made it 23 straight years. COVID broke it up. Came back here in 2021. Didn't get to come back up here last year because I had just started down for the horse breeders and a lot was in flux. But I'm back here this year, and it's no better place to be.
Welcome back. And again, we're going to talk a little Laurel because as Maryland Horse Breeders Association, there's a couple of Maryland bred stakes today, but you have some ideas at Saratoga as well. So let's jump right in. The two stakes at Laurel kick off with the All Brandy, mile and a 16th on the turf. Again, these are Maryland breds. I pulled up a replay going back to June 23rd. The number 9 here is going to be the Girl from Ireland. I thought that horse was an interesting player in and amongst this bunch for Graham Motion. Downtown Katie, I think, with the numbers and the recent good form, is also intriguing in here. What are your thoughts on the All Brandy?
My top pick is the Girl from Ireland, number 8, for Graham Motion and Fogo Lynch. This one has been in career best form ever since arriving in Maryland earlier this year. She's won both her starts here. Ran well on Preakness Day, 2 starts back as well. Made a nice move from off the a fast pace, flattened out a bit late, but ended up 3rd with a career best figure on the Brisnet scale of 88. She has a very strong middle punch. Gets a bit tired late. Her late pace figures aren't as good as you might like to see. But Fogo Lynch, obviously a great grass rider down in the area. In fact, he just won on a Grand Motion horse on the grass yesterday. Did a great ride on Hard Spun Reason and got up at the wire. As long as this one is somewhat close for the pace, should sit mid-pack early on and pack a nice kick on the turn.
Yeah, it just seems in good form. One of those light bulb kind of horses. Took a few starts to break the maiden, but since breaking the maiden a 3rd and a win last time, and it on the numbers seems to have a little bit of an edge in there. Also on the card today for the state breds down at Laurel, it is the Find, $75,000, mile and a 16th. This looks like a fun little race. Plenty of speed on the rail from Wicked Prankster. Field pass for Mike Maker coming down from Saratoga. The Saratoga works there, so that has a little hometown feel if you're jumping in this afternoon down in Maryland. Crabs and Beer, I would think the Maryland crew would like just the name there. But Kerry Breon training that one. And then Sky's Not Falling for Mike Trombetta, I think, is live too. What did you see in the Find?
As you mentioned, fun field, wide open field. I am going to fade Field Pass. I think he's going to take a lot of money on just name value. I mean, yes, he's obviously a very classy horse, earned over $1 million. But in the past year, he really hasn't quite been the same. He's missed the board in his last 7 starts, really hasn't come close to winning his last few. Last time out he was here, yes, he was wide the whole way, but he really had no punch in the stretch whatsoever. I mean, he had a clear shot, but just tired out, lost by 7.5. It's not that big a class drop compared to that allowance. It's a pretty salty bunch. He has a shot. It would not shock me if he won, but at a low price, I'm against. My top pick is Sky's Not Falling, a homebred for Larry Johnson, trained by Mike Trombetta. This one has not missed the board in 6 starts on this track. In fact, won a Maryland Million Turf Sprint here last year. We had a nice race 3 starts back, beat a pretty tough allowance group, and held his own in the Prince George's County last out against Open Company. Saved all the ground. Kicked on pretty well late. Lost to 2 nice horses, Eons and Palo Alto. We'll see Palo Alto in Stakes Company at Woodbine today. And Eons, a very nice grade 3 type. Also won the Prince George's County back in 2022. I'm kind of hoping Field Pass takes a lot of money, drives up the odds on Sky's Not Falling. Also like the Addison Port a little bit. A Elkstone Group homebred for Brittany Russell. Has won 2 in a row earlier in the year. Both times coming from off the pace and kicking on pretty nicely. Closed okay last time out. Maybe was a bit further off the pace than he might like. I think he's eligible for a bounce back effort, especially with Sheldon Russell getting back aboard.
Yeah, Brittany Russell continuing to go at the high percentage down there in Maryland, so she's always worth a look. All right, and again, you're up in Saratoga. You're playing up in Saratoga, so I said when you came in, hey, maybe you have a few opinions for today, and so we'll take a look at some of the Saratoga action. We'll kick it off with thoughts in the Lake Placid race number 7 this afternoon. I, you know, I had the Chad Brown superfecta. I went 4-7, 8-2. I put tax implications on top, over surge capacity. They came in the other direction last time with surge capacity, getting tax implications in the Lake George. We'll see if my thought is correct here, because I say it all the time. We try to get clever and switch them up sometimes, and they come in exactly the same way. But for me, it was 4-7, 8-2. What did you see in the 7?
It's funny because I'm on a similar wavelength to you in that I like 2 Chad Browns, but I like the 2 and the 8. I picked a spray on top. Obviously, I do have to cheer for her as a fan because she is a Preakness Weekend alum. Won the Hilltop Stakes 2 starts back with a really nice closing effort. Had a bit of a wide trip in the Belmont Oaks last time out against Better Company. Still only lost by 2.5 length. I think she'll get a much better trip here. I mean, Heavenly Sunday has early speed. Glorious Princess has speed. Her stablemate, Resquid, has some speed. I think Flavian is going to be able to drop Esprit down to the inside, save ground off the pace. And as long as she has a hole at the top of the stretch, he'll be able to move around through it and kick away.
Yeah, Chad Brown has won 4 of the last 6 editions of the Lake Placid and 4 very eligible players in here this afternoon. I have the Chad superfecta. You've got at least the Chad exact in here. We'll see how that one plays out. 8th race this afternoon. It's the 1.5 turn mile for optional claimers with the seat condition. I went 3-7, 1-4. I put Gerrymander on top, but I think Nostalgic is very playable as well. In what I think is kind of a competitive race, Movie Moxie Favor I have underneath, but I could have similar confidence if I had used those up a little higher. So, again, for me, it's 3-7, 1-4. What did you see in the 8?
Yeah, as you said, it's a borderline stakes quality field, and yeah. It's funny about it being out of that chute, because I had never seen a race out of the chute before this year. And now yesterday, especially with all the grass races being taken off, I got my fill of races out of that
chute. They've been very popular this year.
Yes, say the least. I like both Gerrymander and Ruby Moxie in here. One thing I do want to note is I thought yesterday, I don't know about you, but I thought yesterday the rail was very favorable. I mean, there were a lot of horses, especially in race 9, who were on the rail, looked like they were beat and fought back to win.
Yeah.
So I'm going into today with the assumption the rail is once again going to be the place to be. And if it's not, you know, plans change. But I'm going in assuming it's once again a real favoring track, and that will favor both Gerrymander and Movie Moxie. Gerrymander has a lot of early speed, hasn't been able to quite finish a front-end job in her last few starts, but a lot of those were against better foes than she'll see here. I don't think Battle Bling is going to be able to run with her early. I think Gerrymander drops over to the rail and takes them as far as she can, as fast as she can. Movie Moxie should set the trip off the pace on the inside, has good tactical speed, 1-2 out of her last 3 starts, both times pressing the pace and kicking on to win by open lengths. Would not surprise me if Gerrymander falters. Movie Moxie is going to be right there to pick up the pieces.
Yeah, they're both very playable and in my mix for sure. The Alabama, intrigued to see where you went in here, because I think this is a really fun addition of the Alabama. We had Ken McPeak at the top of the show, and he was talking about defining purpose coming out of the Indiana Oaks. She's intriguing. I went with a minor upset. I really like and have liked all season Wet Paint. So I was a little reluctant. To me, she is clearly the one to beat, but I thought Gambling Girl, the beaten favorite out of the Coaching Club American Oaks, might benefit from that and move forward today. The 8-1 was attractive there. I went 7-2, 8-1. What did you see in the Alabama?
I cannot fault anybody if they want to take a place in this spot. I like Wet Paint. I have to respect Wet Paint, but in a field like this, I can't take 2-1 or less. I think that's just kind of silly. Randomized, I'm kind of scared of. I think she could win by 10 or lose by 30. I think either outcome is equally plausible. Yes, it was a 4-horse field last time out in the Wilton. Yes, she had a pretty easy trip, but she could get that kind of trip again. Like, she's pretty clearly a main speed based on early pace figures, faster early than Sacred Wish, faster than Defined Purpose. Got to figure Joelle's going to be aggressive, send her to the front, and just try to keep going. So I think you have to use her, at least if you're playing a pick 5. I think Tax, you know, another previous weekend alum, won the Black Eyed Susan. You know, 8-1 on the morning line, that, I think, is a pretty big overlay. I mean, she chased down Hoosier Philly, who had a front-running trip in the Black Eyed Susan, nailed her in the last few jumps off a pretty moderate third quarter, fell maybe a little too far off the pace in the Indiana Oaks, was about 4 lengths out of it at the half-mile pole. Still ran pretty well behind Finding Purpose. I couldn't quite get there. Now, I mean, as long as Rafael Bejarano, who I think it's a big deal that he's coming in for this mount as well.
Yeah.
If she is, you know, two and a half or three lengths off the pace, maybe in the two path early, not losing too much ground. She has great late speed. Even a somewhat honest pace at 8-1, I think you have to at least give her a long look.
You're not being a homer because she won the Black Eyed Susan, are you?
Well, I mean, I want her to win, but even on pure handicap, even if you blacked out everybody's name and just looked at their numbers, like, yeah, she's got a good shot.
10th race today. They're on the grass. Optional claimers, non-winners, two other than Mile on the Grass. I have written at the top of the page, wide open, but I went with Napoleonic War for Chad Brown and Klarovich, or Peter Brand, excuse me. I thought the seasonal debut might have put her in a good spot to change the outcome behind Whisper Not last time. We'll see how that works out. But for me, 2-5, 10, and 7, what did you see in the 10th?
I think Whisper Not and Verbal on top. As you noted, Whisper Not did get the job done on this track last time out. It was wide the entire way. Came in about the 6th path at the top of the stretch, but still had plenty left to give and matched his season-best figure on the Brisbane scale, at least, with a 91. He has good late speed. As long as he doesn't lose too much ground, he'll be in the mix late. And I will go with the other Chad, or I guess your horse could be the other Chad, too. Who's to say, really? Number 9, Verbal, lightly raced. Maybe did a bit too much too soon. Went in Tampa Bay Stakes, 3 starts back, but still ran on well. Got fourth. Could well have won last out if not for being interfered with in the stretch. He improved pretty nicely off that race. Adds blinkers. Keeps that rat in the saddle. Should also be heard from late.
Yeah, and it is worth noting that trouble in the last may be worth. And David Aragon actually, you know, made that one 5-2, so I'm sure he was taking that into account. I'm interested to see what the betting public does today. But I think it's a nice, fun card, certainly.
Excellent card.
Wish you a lot of luck on your plays this afternoon. And
thank you, sir.
Have fun the remainder of the weekend in here. And before you head back down and say hello to our friend Dave Rodman when you get back down to Maryland.
Yeah, opening day at the Big T coming up on Friday, August 25th. I'll be one of the honor handicappers along with Frank Vespi and Cali Francois. So if the Travers weekend action is not enough for you, find a TV
look
on
for track, the
or go on, yeah, or go on the CapitalOTB.com and you'll see me giving out hopefully winners.
Say hello to our friend Frank Vespi as well. We appreciate you coming in this morning, though. Again, John Piasek from the Maryland Horse Breeders Association, communications manager. Yeah, my co-host on the Handicapping Show, Anthony Mormino, keeps saying he wants to get down to Timonium.
Definitely worth a trip. It's a lot of fun.
It seems, and I'm right in the same camp. John, appreciate it. We'll talk again.
Sounds good, Seth. Take care.
All right. We're going to wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America. Seth Merrow here live from our Clare Court location. It's been a nice morning. I think we have a great afternoon ahead as well. Certainly a really fun card and a great edition of the Alabama this afternoon. So enjoy the racing this afternoon and cash some tickets. Don't forget, tomorrow's Kings Plate up at Woodbine, so keep that in mind. Print up your PPs. Maybe take a look at that as well. But great racing up here. Come on up and enjoy it. If you can't get up here, go to your local branch. Go down to 7-Eleven. The Racebook, or play on your phone or your tablet, CapitalOTVBet.com. Tomorrow, our friend Steve Bick originally was scheduled to go out for Pacific Classic weekend, but he has remained in the upstate New York area, so he'll be sitting in with me on Loose on the Lead tomorrow morning. That means tomorrow morning we'll kick things off, 9 a.m. Handicapper Support, 10 a.m. Loose on the Lead. We'll see you then.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. And the Clubhouse Racebook, 7-Eleven Central Avenue, Albany. When you can't make it to the track, make it to the Clubhouse Racebook.